Well, this morning is the morning 40 years ago that Grace Fellowship actually started. On November 29th, of course that would be tomorrow, 42 souls signed a covenant to organize a Baptist church. In the month of December, the name Grace Fellowship Baptist Church was adopted. And then Brother Bob Doom was extended an invitation to consider becoming pastor of Grace Fellowship. And in April, the first Sunday in April, Brother Bob took the pastorate here many years ago in 1982. So, though we celebrated our 40th anniversary back in October, and obviously, providentially, it was good that we did, isn't it? Considering how things have come about here in this particular month of November. But we praise the Lord for God using this church and being a missions-minded church. And I think on that very first Sunday, from the very first Sunday, the church had an interest in missions. And it was unanimously voted to give 10% at that time of the gross offerings unto the missionary fund. And they established an initial giving to missions right at the start. And so we praise the Lord for the privilege that this church has had to continue with a strong emphasis of missions through the years. So, what prompted these brethren to establish a church? Because obviously, there were plenty of churches in Asheville at that given point in time. This group of brethren had really come to see God's salvation from God's vantage point, rather than from man's vantage point. And so it wasn't anything new, it was just new to them. And so as the real magnitude of the grace of God, salvation absolutely by the grace of God, gripped these this handful of believers, that is what stirred them to establish Grace Fellowship. Well, as time went by, that core of group obviously solidified and the church was established. And then the church, since then, has sought to reach the lost, both locally and around the world through missions. And it seemed today, to me, right to return to those origins of truth that launched this particular church. And so, actually, you didn't know this, but Brother Bob was scheduled to be preaching this morning. that was since he had been the first pastor. I had asked him back in October to plan to be preaching here this morning, but he's rejoicing this morning, and so we're also rejoicing with him. And the scripture verse that the Lord put to my heart is found here in Proverbs 23 and verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the absolute truth of your word. And we pray now today that as this church continues on in its ministry, you'll give us great determination, that in the face of all of the opposition and that growing opposition, even from our own government, that God will give us, Lord, you will give us the courage to stand in our day. So we thank you for this very simple line of thought that Solomon gives here in the Proverbs, that we are to buy the truth and by no means sell it. So help us today as we lay hold of this principle of truth and encourage us as a church body, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at this, and I'm probably going to continue on with this line of thought and develop this a little bit further in the next couple of weeks as well. This morning, so then, is kind of an introduction, I guess, to some extent. I want you to consider this little phrase, buy the truth and sell it not. First of all, by comparative buying. Second of all, by competing truth. And then lastly, the commodity trading. Comparative buying. You know, the list of things for which men and women, boys and girls, are prepared to spend themselves to fulfill their minds and their lives is absolutely endless. Think of all the things that people spend their lives on. Some people spend it on sports. That's obviously one of the great occupations of people's lives in our day and time. Some spend it on building businesses and monies and empires. Some build it on all kinds of scientific exploration, studies, archaeology. It's absolutely endless, isn't it? My daughter, Noemi, said on Friday, I guess it was, they are exploring Elizabethan, where they've moved to, and they found a little thrift store. And my granddaughter, Cecily, has had her heart set on a bright, shiny red purse. That's what she wants for Christmas. And do you know, they actually found a bright, shiny little red purse. And so my daughter was all excited that she found how did Cecily get this in her head that she wanted a bright, shiny red purse for Christmas? Who knows? How can we explain all the things that we can get fixated on in this life? But it doesn't take very long, even as a child, to get caught up with things in this world. And so, how many things have you and I spent our lives on? Well, it's interesting how Solomon puts this to his son, because he is addressing in a practical way and giving counsel to his son when he makes this statement here in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth. Comparative buying. That's what I'm really focusing on in my first line of thought here. And what is the currency? Well, the currency is your life, isn't it? How are you going to spend your time? And our time is limited, isn't it? We do not have an infinite amount of time in this world with which to use the life that God has given to us. Buy the truth. So what do we, what is this commodity? What is this currency? It is our own life. It is our time. It is our energy. And we're warned, are we not, in the New Testament by James. I'm sure that this verse of scripture immediately comes to your line of thinking, as it did with me, when James would write, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So when Solomon makes this statement, buy the truth, we're to recognize, aren't we, that our time is limited in this world, and some die very young. Some die with many years. The point is for us to recognize that the life that God has given to us, particularly as believers, we're to spend wisely. It is our currency. So when when Solomon makes this statement, buy the truth, he can only mean that you and I are to take what life God has given to us and to use it very wisely and to recognize it is a currency to be spent. Certainly for us today, we are remembering our dear brother and how he used his currency. And he used it wisely and he used it well. And there are others that have gone on before us who we can look back over their life. And, with Brother Bob, he had a great wide missionary vision. But I think about my mom who lived to be 101. And my mother just as wisely used every opportunity she had to hand out a gospel tract. My mother was never a preacher, but my mother lived before the Lord and honored the Lord with the life God gave to her. So, it's not about being somebody else or doing what vision or task that God has given to somebody else. It's just you and I finding out how God wants us to spend the currency of our lives. Because all of us are interested in having our Lord say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes. So the currency, if you're going to be buying the truth, you're going to have to buy it with your life. By comparison, we think of our Lord Jesus. We're about to enter now into the season of Christmas, remembering the birth of our Lord. And immediately again, what comes to mind is our Lord Jesus at age 12. You remember? With his family going to the time of worship there in Jerusalem, and on the march back to the area of Nazareth where he was growing up as a young boy, for the parents to finally discover he wasn't with the crowd. Where did they find him? They find him in the temple. He's asking questions. He's giving answers, and they are. The leadership is stunned at his understanding and wisdom. And when Mary says to him, why did you do this to us? We saw you, weeping, thinking some ill had happened. Well, he said, why were you so concerned? Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business. That wonderful that you and me, we can take the life that God has given to us and use it as currency to be about our Father's business. And hasn't he saved us to that end? Buy the truth. Sell it not. We think of the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, that great hall of faith chronicles some of the saints who bought wisely. We think of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. But then we think of the New Testament believers. We think of James, the brother John, and how his life was cut short by Herod when he murdered James. Stephen being stoned to death. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas and Silas and Timothy. We think of all of these of the New Testament era. They all had a different ministry. God had a different plan for each one of them, some short, some long, some with great suffering, some that, like Timothy, just seemed to plow on. And then we think of all the missionaries, all the history of missionaries, William Carey and David Brainerd, Adoniram Judson, and then in this last century, Jim Elliot, the brethren that gave their lives trying to minister to the Alca Indians there on the Amazon in the 1950s, where all of them lost their lives. And just recently, I don't know the details, and I don't think it wise to say a whole lot about it, but I think we had let you know that a missionary wife was brutally murdered Now, did we not tell you this? Just not too far on the outskirts of Manchay, there in Peru, here earlier this month, missionary husband and children had gone out, and someone came into their home and murdered the wife, brutally murdered her. The Alagoods, not the Alagoods, but our brethren there greatly disturbed them. They had worked with this couple. So these things are still happening. Just this month, another missionary's life taken. What are we going to do with the currency of our lives? So Solomon gives us instruction not only to his son, but to all of us by the truth. The truth. You know, there is absolute truth. As I meditated and thought on this particular passage of Scripture, I thought about these words in relation to the moment in which they were being given. And you do remember, God raised up David, King David. King David had Solomon by Bathsheba. And then you remember Solomon had a son, Rehoboam. And so this particular instruction is aimed at Rehoboam. So I started thinking to myself, what absolute truth did Rehoboam know and understand? Because we recognize there has always been absolute truth. Even in the very beginning, when God spoke to Adam and to Eve and gave Adam specific instruction of what he was to do in the garden, was that not absolute truth? And was there not a warning given to Adam as to the consequences of disobeying God's word? That was absolute truth. So we have absolute truth of creation, of how we came into this world. God had given absolute truth to Adam, that was very simple. And Adam violated that. And then absolute truth continued progressively to be given. Absolute truth of where God provided coats. So there was immediately a blood sacrifice. That obviously was taught by Adam to his sons. Abel would continue that. Cain would reject that. It was absolute truth. That absolute truth continued in Noah's day. Noah preached for all those many years as the ark was being prepared, warning people of God's judgment. That was absolute truth being communicated. When the flood was over and God dispersed the peoples, there was absolute truth still being given, little by little. And then you have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then you come to Moses. God is progressively giving truth, and it's all absolute truth. Absolute truth to a world that needed a word from the living God. So you come to Rehoboam's day. What did Rehoboam understand? Rehoboam had the absolute truth of his grandfather. Think of all of the Psalms that David had written, all the communication of truth. He had all of the Old Testament law. He had the history of Joshua. He had the history of the judges. He had the history of Saul. And then how David had come to the throne. And how Solomon, his father, had come to the throne. Rehoboam had all of this absolute truth. And Solomon, in this moment, in this proverb says to his son, Rehoboam, buy the truth. Take the life that God has given to you and use that life to buy the truth that God has given. But what did Rehoboam do with that? The history tells us that when Solomon died and Rehoboam became the king, all of the wisdom that was given by Solomon in these Proverbs, and this one in particular today, buy the truth and sell it not, Rehoboam rejected that. He could have used wisdom, but Rehoboam rejected it. And out of that, the nation Israel was divided. By the truth. I recognize that there is, quote unquote, competing truth. But the truth that the world thinks that they have, the religions that they have established, the idols that they have worshipped, you and I know are only going to lead those multitudes of souls into eternity with no hope. You and I are the ones that possess the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the pillar and the ground of the truth is established and held by the church, not by colleges, not by universities. God did not design them. He designed the church. And you and I must buy the truth. We must preserve the truth. We must preach the truth and stand on that truth. And in the greater context of what is being addressed here as we have divided up the Proverbs, let me just draw your attention to a few lines of thought. Look at verse 2. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. So as Solomon is trying to give some instruction to Rehoboam, who will one day become the king, he addresses a number of issues just line by thought. I think what we see first of all is an appetite. What is your appetite? Well, how many programs are there on the television that you can turn to where you can learn how to cook this and cook that? All of us, you're glad to have a good appetite, but our world is spent on feeding its face. Solomon writes to Rehoboam and warns him, don't get caught up in this. Be satisfied with simple foods. Don't feel like you've got to have an extravagant appetite. He said, in fact, it would be wise, just go ahead and stick a knife to your throat. If this is what your life is going to be, if you're going to need to be caught up with worshiping food. So appetite, look at verse 10. Remove not the old landmarks, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. So I think we see appetite. We see greed addressed in this particular line of Proverbs. And think of all of those that have given themselves in this world to greed. Remove not those landmarks. Oh, and there's a number of ways, of course, in which we can look at this. But the very obvious and practical was literally the land marks of how the land had been divided out between the tribes. And so as families within those tribes had their landmarks within those given dimensions of property, don't remove those. And if someone's fatherless, don't take advantage of them. So in this world, Jew or Gentile alike, there isn't anything new about men stealing other men's properties. But he is saying to Rehoboam, Rehoboam, you be content with what God's given you. Don't try to take and abuse even the fatherless when you have an opportunity to do so. Appetite and greed. Why, even correction of children is described here. Look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Boy, no, that's not very popular in our day and time, is it? That'll get you a visit from DHS. Is that what they're called or whatever they're? Yeah. I can remember, I think I've told you this, when we were there in New York and our children were all young, they had those advertisements in New York about if you know, that came on, if your parents are abusing you, here's a number you can call. Of course, we used, I had a little 5/16 dowel rod. You buy them in a 3-foot length, you cut it in half, you've got 2 18-inch, is that right, brother? Doing the math, he's the carpenter here. You got had 2 18-inch rods, and we stuck them right up over the door where only the adults could reach them. And all I had to say to my children was, if they were acting up, all I had to do was point to the door. They knew the rod was coming. I actually used a rod, and I told my children, there's the phone number on the TV. You think you need to call it? Go right ahead. But it's not going to change what happens to you if you disobey in this house. The old adage, spare the rod to spoil the child, has always been accurate. And that's not to... When you see this word beat here, it's not talking about abuse. And you and I know that. It's not beating a child on the back. God gave a specific piece of meat to be used, didn't he? That's right. And aren't we glad if you received a discipline as a child and were taught right and wrong, what a blessing that is. That's been thrown out the window in our day, hadn't it? So again, you see all these different themes that are coming up. And in the direct passage here of dealing with buying the truth, well, let's pick it up at verse 15. My son, if thine heart is wise, be wise. My heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. By the truth. So... And as you continue down in the passage, he warns his son against loose women. He warns him against drunkenness. So I think we recognize here, wine, women, and song. Don't give yourself to this. Don't let your earthly appetite, don't spend your life on earthly appetite. Now, for you and I that have been saved by God's grace, what does Colossians 3 tell us? If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's you and me. That's us. So as this church today, in its 40th anniversary, we find that truth is always practical. Absolute truth is not merely theological, it's practical. And aren't you glad that holiness is a practical doctrine? by the truth. The only place that we're going to find that truth is in the revelation of the Word of God. But we come to the final statement here that he says in verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Sell it not. The Hebrew is an interesting word. It is the Hebrew word makar, M-A-K-A-R. And the word means to sell as merchandise. The very first time that it's used, and it's used in the Hebrew in the future tense. I want you to turn back, hold your place in Proverbs, and turn back in Genesis to chapter 25. Chapter 25 and verse 33. And remember now, this is used in the Hebrew in the future tense. Book of Genesis, chapter 25, and look at verse 33. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And of course, he's talking to Esau. And he, Esau, swear unto him, Jacob, and he, and here is our word, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. So when Solomon uses this word here, sell it not, here is the first use of it in the future tense, and you can understand why it stands in the future tense. Jacob is as has the pottage. Esau has the appetite. And what have we been talking about in Proverbs 23? It's your appetite. What does Esau sell his future for? He sells his future for his appetite. And so when this Hebrew word is used here in Genesis 25, verse 33, and he sold. Meaning, he took his future and he sold his future. There's another passage here in the book of Genesis. I want you to turn to chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 27. Genesis 37, verse 27. Come. And let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. Here is our word again. Makar. To sell as merchandise or to sell into slavery. So when a man is sold into slavery, are you not selling his future? What his life would have been now becomes dominated by another. And so that is the word that is used here. So think of this in terms of how Solomon gives counsel to Rehoboam. Buy the truth, sell it not. You'll either buy this truth and use it for the benefit of your future, or you'll ignore buying the truth, and your future will be sold. You'll lose it. And in reality, you will be enslaved without it. Now I want you to think about how God has saved you and the mercy that he has shown you. Because up to the point in which you were lost in your sins, your and my lives were sold. We sold it into sin. We sold our future. And we were enslaved by how we had submitted ourselves to sin rather than truth. But aren't you glad for the day when God opened your eyes and let you see the result of your sin, and on that day saved you and changed your future? Consider the future that you and I have now. A future to live for God. And a future now that we can buy the truth. We take the word of God, we apply it to our lives every day, learning something, drawing from God's word. I can't remember who it was who made this statement, but it came to mind as I studied this particular word. Do not sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. That is what Esau did, didn't he? And Esau is described as a vain fornicator, found there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, a man full of bitterness. How did our Lord buy the truth? I think the great test was the immediate test of his temptation found there in Matthew chapter 4. When Satan took him up to that high mountain and let him cast his eyes on all of the debauchery and the kingdoms of this world, he called on the Lord Jesus to bow down and worship him, and he'd give him all of that. But our Lord Jesus put Satan in his place. And so the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary to buy us back from a future that we had sold. This is what he did for us. And the gospel is the glorious message of sinners being saved and delivered. And a future not only changed in this world, but a future changed for all of eternity by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his cross, by the resurrection, and by his ascension into glory. Buy the truth and sell it not. Speaks to me as pastor here of the great responsibility to continue week by week to pour out truth, to remind you of truth, guide you in the direction of truth, so that you can take the life that God has given to you and the purpose for which he birthed you into his kingdom, and you can expend it on a future that glorifies him and will be to his praise for all of eternity. And so we look not only as to our most recent loss in Brother Bob, but there are others that have gone on before us, many. The multitudes we can't even begin to count, who have stood and withstood. So the final passage of Scripture that comes to my mind as we close, I ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We spent so much time on this here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not the Democratic Party, the Independents, the Communists, the Socialists. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. And I would say to you, as you read this and consider this, and for me, your pastor, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. Not in bonds right now, but that may be sometime in the future. That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I would say the same for you. That God would enable you and I in these days to boldly buy the truth and sell it not. Now the enemy wants us to sell it. He wants us to compromise his truth. But in so doing, we sell our future. And we sell ourselves into slavery. And there are churches that are doing it, aren't they? They are being enslaved by the ways of the world, thinking they've got to do something of the world to reach the world. No, no. Our Lord did not do that, and that's not found in this book. Come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, is the call of God's word to us. So the days are not going to become easier. They will be more challenging. And the only way that you and I will stand is by wearing the whole armor of God. This morning, as Sharon and I were praying, I have been here of recent days quoting in our time of prayer Romans 12, 1 and 2, and saying to the Lord, Lord, today, by the mercies of God, I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. I know it's my reasonable service. I do not want to be conformed to this world. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's my prayer. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for us as a church. Buy the truth. Take your life. Buy up the truth of God's word. Sell it not. Sell it not. Father, we thank you that you have given to us absolute truth. And we know how the world wants us to water this down, compromise it, somehow make it palatable to them. And I know this puts us in the crosshairs of a wicked government and a wicked world. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll fill our hearts with love for these who are so opposed to you. Give us grace as our Lord showed grace, spoke even kindly to a thief on the cross. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for absolute truth. Help us now in these days. We do mourn the loss of our dear brother, but at the same time, We are so very grateful for the privilege that you've given to us. You have left us here. We look for the day of the trump of God, the dead in Christ rising, and we which are alive and remain to be caught up together with you in the clouds, and so forever to be with you, our Lord. But that day's not today, at least not this moment. And so to this end we pray, help us to buy the truth and never, no, never sell it, but stand on it, live by it, and testify to it. And use us, we pray, to the salvation of lost souls. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love the church and you gave yourself for it. You are the church. And so one by one, on the missionary on the field and in the corner, there are sinners to be born. Give us to both for and love these to Christ. Bless us, we ask now this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close in number 477. Number 477. Stand with me when you find it. Seem to be him for us to close out the service here today. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, we must not be lost. From victory to victory, his shall he till his vanquished for Jesus. We thank you for us today. I can't imagine what you have in store for us for eternity, but we thank you that by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can live with this great expectation. So bless us, we pray. Send us out into our world with courage, not with fear. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind. So enable us by thy grace to stand. Thank you again for your mercies. Bless my dear brothers, my dear sisters here today. And I pray that you'll encourage them by the thoughts of the scripture today. They'll buy the truth and never sell it. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name.